Hello and welcome to Plymouth Beneath the Surface, where we will meet inspiring people from Plymouth that have oriented their lives and careers around the ocean. Are you ready to dive into Plymouth waters to explore career options, discover underwater ecosystems, understand marine research and conservation initiatives? I'm your host, Ruza Sihan, a final year student in marine biology at the University of Plymouth. I'm really grateful to have you here today, and I hope you enjoy this dose of inspiration in this new episode. Welcome to the third episode of the podcast, and I'm with Nadia. Welcome, Nadia.
Hi, Louise. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Thanks for being here. Can I ask you to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, of course. So my name's Nadia Frontier. I am an ex-marine biology and coastal ecology student from Plymouth University. I graduated last year and I'm just about to start a job as the marine biologist in Antarctica. So I'm currently in a period of quarantine before we set sail on the James Clark Ross, which is the research vessel that belongs to the British Antarctic Survey. So that will be a 2-month sailing trip crossing the Atlantic, and we'll arrive at Rother Research Station at the end of December, where I'll finally be able to start my job as a marine biologist and do research in polar environments, which I'm super excited about.
How did you get that job? Like, what led you to be working with the British Antarctic Survey?
Well, the British Antarctic Survey has been on my radar for ages. I met a friend, Marlon. We used to do some seagrass diving surveys together with the National Marine Aquarium of Plymouth. And I remember him telling me one day just before we were going on a dive, I'm looking at this job with the British Antarctic Survey. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. I didn't realise we could actually work in Antarctica, especially so soon after graduating. And then he got the job in his final year. And then that cemented this realisation that actually that's possible and I could do that too. So I started looking at the criteria and seeing what you need to do to be a diver and researcher at the British Antarctic Survey. And I was absolutely following that path and always looking when the job applications came up, because essentially there's two positions. There's the marine assistant, which is the position that Marlon got, but there's also the marine biologist. So that is a position that gives you the opportunity to conduct your own research projects, and the project changes every year because it's implementing something novel, and I was really captivated by that.
What did you do after graduation? Because you've graduated a year ago and you're leaving now. So what have you been doing in between?
After graduating, I first went on a cycling trip for 3 months through France, Spain, Portugal. It was a really nice break after finishing undergraduate, and I just wanted to do something really outside, doing exercise every day. And then after that, I went to an island in the North Sea in Germany called Helgoland. I was working with the Alfred Wegener Institute. That's a German research organization that specialized with polar research. I was working with the Center for Scientific Diving there, understanding how polar operations work, really uncovering all the logistics, doing some dives in cold water in 6 degrees, not as cold as it will be in Antarctica, mind. We'll have a maximum of 2 degrees. It'll be really cold. But it was good practice using full face mask. This is essentially a mask that is attached to your face with using strap. And as a diver, you have a microphone built in it. So you can talk to the top side and your supervisors, and they can hear you breathing in return. So it's a really good system. And it also keeps your face quite warm because cold water can't reach the bare skin. And then after that, I got a job as a research assistant at the Marine Biology Association in Plymouth, working in a research group focused on kelp forests. And I worked with Dan Smale and Kat Wilding as my mentors. So I had done a summer internship just after graduating. I'm kind of jumping around a bit. The summer internship was at the Marine Biology Association, working with kelp forests and kelp ecology. That line of research really captivated me. So I was delighted to be able to work and have my first proper job as a research assistant at the MBA.
So you're going from being a research assistant at the MBA to marine biologist in Antarctica?
Yeah, that's right. Can't quite believe it.
It's such quite a big step, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a big step. Luckily, because I had such a supportive mentor, I was able to implement my own research project and lead on that and be able to write that up. So that gave some kind of flavour of directing the research. But mostly I was taking assistant roles and processing a massive backlog of samples that we had, assisting on various projects or helping with master's students and PhD students. So yeah, that was quite a dynamic role, being an assistant. Whereas now, changing into the position of a marine biologist, it really, especially down in Antarctica, with the COVID restrictions this year, there will only be two marine scientists on base. So that'll be the marine biologist and the marine assistant, as I touched on before. So it'll be a very, very different world, but really looking forward to take that step.
And so you're going to be diving in Antarctica as well?
Yes, I'm going to be diving. So a focus of a lot of the research is to really understand processes that are happening in situ and underwater. So my main project will be to measure the growth rate of species that live on the seafloor, the benthic species. And we really want to understand how these processes change across the seasons. And to really understand that, you've got to get there and you've got to dive and see these organisms in action. So there will be a lot of diving. And the really cool thing is that Rothera Research Station, which is located on the West Antarctic Peninsula, is the only research station that does diving during the winter period. So essentially we'll be the only people diving on the whole continent.
When did you start diving?
I finished school. A gap year travel company came and gave us a talk. And I thought, wow, I'm going to work so hard to save so I can actually go to Tanzania and learn to dive before I start marine biology. What a perfect opportunity. So dedicated my sixth form years to working in a hotel and saving up money. And then went to Tanzania, an island called the Mafia Islands off the East Coast, and got my open water and my advanced open water. And we were marine ambassadors, essentially, on this island. So we were involved in a lot of benthic surveys. We were looking at fish, different coral species, what invertebrates were living there. And all this data would feed into the Mafia Marine Park Authority. So it would lead them into planning and implementing different programs regarding the marine protected area and how certain habitats were recovering. It was a great opportunity to learn about a host of different species and to be able to identify them in the field and to generate useful information. So that's when I first started diving. And it was quite a treat because it was tropical water. So the visibility was 30, 40 meters. As you might have had, Louise, too, I had quite a shock when I came to England. And my first dive was in November. It had rained the weekend before and I could hardly see anything. It was really cold as well. So yeah, it was quite interesting.
Yeah, but it's going to be different again from Antarctica as well.
Yes, of course.
The water temperature and the vis probably going to be different.
Yeah, definitely. But saying that, the first impression that I had of UK diving is completely different to how I see it now. And on a good day, you can 10, even 15 meters of visibility in England. And I really relish diving in the UK because our waters are so productive. Sometimes they look a bit green because there is just so much plankton in the water that's giving that appearance. I love diving through kelp forests and through, as Georgie's talked about, habitats that we have around Plymouth. But yeah, diving through seagrass beds and just seeing a whole suite of organisms in operation is amazing.
Yeah, what's been your experience in diving in Plymouth?
I did the HSC course, which is a month-long intensive course at the end of our first year of university. So we learn to be scientific divers and practice a range of survey techniques, from using lift bags underwater to photography to scientific surveys. You learn about the theory of diving. You work closely with a team and you're out diving once, twice, even sometimes three times a day. It's a really, really great experience and it gives you a lot of practical knowledge as well that's transferable. So having this HSC ticket under my belt in first year, I was able to volunteer as much as possible on projects. So the marine station at Plymouth University, they support lots of logistics and diving operations. So that can be the university staff, for example, that want a 3D film of some pink sea fans. They would ask divers at the marine station if they could go out and do a diving survey for them. Some dissertation students wanted some sediment samples to look at different pollutants around seagrass beds. And these were all projects that, as a student, I was able to get involved with. So I'd be at the marine station early in the morning, quite often, and assisting on these extracurricular diving opportunities. And that was fantastic. And then it came about that the Plymouth Marine Aquarium were asking for HSE divers to sample seagrass beds in different sites around the southwest and to document what species we found there and also to track the density and abundance of seagrass shoots across the season. So I got involved in that and I was able to dive in quite a few seagrass beds. So that was organised by Mark Parry, who works at Plymouth Marine Aquarium, and he was a really great mentor and inspiration during that period. Also recreationally, there's quite a few dive clubs around Plymouth for people that haven't yet been to Plymouth. There's Aquanauts, there's In Deep, there's also Sound Diving, so quite a few places around. And as a student, you can get involved in the university scuba club and do shore dives and boat dives quite regularly. So just on a Wednesday afternoon, often there aren't lectures and that's left for sport time. So it's really nice just to be able to get out and go and see some shipwreck just on your doorstep. It's really incredible. So after a lecture, I'd just run home, sling on a bag full of diving equipment, and then I'd just cycle down to the dive shop. It was really such a great lifestyle.
You're a bit of a fish. Obviously, I met you at uni and you were always in the sea somehow, either like diving or swimming. I remember you wanting to swim from the breakwater or going in and not being cold, and I was like freezing because not used to being swimming in Plymouth waters.
Yeah, completely. Being in the sea just became part of me. I just needed to always feel immersed in the water, and I'd always be with a snorkel as well, just seeing what life I'd be able to see. And I really started getting into underwater photography as well. So I became fascinated with taking photos and just sharing that also with my housemates or all my friends. Just we'd have photography competitions as well sometimes. And we had a group of people that you were part of, and we'd try and go free diving quite regularly around sites in and around Plymouth, even in really, really cold temperatures during the winter. It was great, wasn't it? We were just...
I remember going, I think, near Ginny Cliff, and I was in my 4-3 surfing wetsuit with my hood, and you were all wearing diving suits, at least 7 mil. And it was like a really nice day.
Yeah.
And it was in a kelp forest. So cold. It was so cold.
You definitely need a flask of tea after to warm you up and to have as a preparation.
There's such a huge community of open water swimmers in Plymouth. I didn't realise before.
Yes, that's something that I've really discovered going into the water before work at 7 or 7.30. There's just so many people around the water edge, and you can just see them because they've all got these orange and pink buoys that they're trailing behind them.
Like the Marine Biological Association is just in the hole, like facing such a nice place.
It is such a nice place. And we've both spent quite a lot of time working in the library at the Marine Biology Association. So you can get a student membership for £25 for the year, and you have access to this amazing space that is so motivating and inspiring, especially when you're reading lots of research papers about marine research and species and even things that have happened in Plymouth, and you're just looking out onto the ocean. It's a really great place to be, very stimulating. Students don't really use it that often. It's not really that busy. So people that are thinking of doing marine biology at Plymouth, definitely recommend the MBA library.
What did you think about the degree and the course?
I've got such fond memories of marine biology at Plymouth University. First, my lecturers, they are such inspiring people. I was absolutely captivated sitting, listening to talks about their research or just how they collate research from specific areas and specific topics and just communicate it in such a vivid and inspiring way. I'd come back from my lectures, and my housemates would be like, why are you so happy? You're crazy. Because I'd just be like bouncing off the wall just from listening to them. And in addition to the lectures, it was really great to go on field trips with them as well. They would show us species and in rock pools and tell us stories about them, or they would go pond dipping in freshwater environments. And one lecturer, Dave Bilton, was really excited about beetles, and I was amazed that people were so fascinated by these organisms. And not growing up by the sea, I come from near Oxford, Buckinghamshire. Although I spent a lot of holidays by the coast, I hadn't really been completely immersed into this marine experience. So those first weeks and the first field trips were absolutely eye-opening, and just seeing the passion radiating through our lecturers completely transformed me and made me want to just study and read and learn as much as I could. So that was a great stepping stone. And Then progressing to the end of first year, we had, as a coastal ecology student, we had a field trip. So we went to South Africa for a week and we had the opportunity to work in groups and conduct small little research projects on cape weavers. And they're these really cool yellow birds that make these formidable nests, and we could look at the behaviour of the males, the kind of calling behaviour they need to do to attract females. That was a really nice way to start the morning, waking up at six and traipsing down with your sleeping bag and sitting under the chair and watching these birds. It was lovely. And we also had this backdrop of this lagoon where there were hundreds of migrating birds. So we learned about the ecology and what kind of invertebrates they eat, and also learning about the vegetation in South Africa, the fynbos, was absolutely an incredible experience. And as a young person, that really leaves an impression on you, especially being guided by people that know what they're talking about. And they really, I really find, you might find this too, but our lecturers want us to learn, and they know you individually, and they adopt different teaching styles as well to communicate different points. And moving on to second year as well, we got a lot of practical experience, a lot of laboratory work, a lot of times when we were taken out onto the boat, and again we'd write reports based on observations and data that we were collecting during that period, such as trawling for fish scientific trawling for fish assemblages in Plymouth Sound, and looking at different survey techniques, how to collect sediment, how to tow a plankton net, for example. And then we'd come back really excited and look at everything in the lab. And the lab is part of the marine station, so it's this building in Queen Anne's Battery, and it looks onto Plymouth Sound. So everything you've just collected, you're then analysing and looking at microscopes and looking at different taxonomic keys in the lab, and you're just looking out onto Plymouth Sound where you've just collected all these samples. It's such an enriching experience. And then again, going to third year, it continues to be great. You get the opportunity to conduct your own research project. You can choose your dissertation. You get a lot of support from the lecturers as well. There's many different facilities and equipment and labs available on site that allow you to learn new techniques and really gather and collate a very interesting research project, if you so wish.
Yeah, I think you gave a really good overview of what marine biology and coastal ecology is, and I couldn't agree more.
Yes, well, it's obviously it's hard to compare because I don't know what marine biology is like at other universities. I'm sure it's great as well, but there's always good comments and feedback that I've had from my peers and that I see and engage with from being at Plymouth University.
So what do you think inspired you to come to Plymouth, and what has inspired you?
Definitely the diving, a bit like Georgie said as well. I came to the open day and I realised that we could do the scientific diving course, and Plymouth University is the only English university that does offer diving as part of the course. After you get this HSC ticket in the second year, you can do a scientific diving module. So that runs for one semester and you further learning about different survey techniques, and you write up an environmental impact assessment from all data that you collect with your group, and that's a really practical and wonderful experience. You learn how to analyze water samples and sediment samples, and I was really excited to be able to have that in addition to lectures. You could then go diving as part of your course. That was a massive attraction, and also the environment in and around Plymouth is gorgeous. It's absolutely breathtaking when you stand on the Hoe and you've just got this massive panoramic view on the ocean. And again, meeting my lecturers and just hearing them talk and hearing the passion really made me choose Plymouth over some other universities. But the other universities as well, I had a really good time visiting them. It's quite a tough choice, but it's definitely the diving that swayed it for me. Diving is something that when I chose to go to university, I wasn't even a diver, but it's something that I knew that I wanted to do and engage in and learn and have the experience and develop that. And university just felt like the perfect time to be able to do that.
Who do you think has inspired you in Plymouth? I know it's a tough question, but I'm sure you do have some names to drop.
Well, yeah, there's loads of people, starting from an internship that I did in my second year of university in the summer at the Marine Biology Association. There was a woman called Catherine Pack, and she would take us out into the field and we'd do lots of surveys to look at the impact of a non-native seaweed in rock pools and how it's affecting the diversity. So we were looking at native seaweeds in the rock pools, and there was loads of, there was so much diversity because we were going all the way to Dorset to do these surveys, and species that we hadn't previously been familiar with. And she would collect samples, take them home in the evenings, and then just try and find out exactly what these species were and take lots of detailed photographs. She really cared, and she'd come up the next day and tell us what we had seen. She was a great teacher as well, and really getting us involved into rocky shore ecology and just having time for you. That was something that I found really invaluable as a as an undergraduate student. She had actually done a master's project in conjunction with the British Antarctic Survey, looking at the reproduction of brittle stars. So I just wanted to learn from her as much as possible, and I felt that was, it's really, it's absolutely essential to have mentors like that. And actually, whilst I was doing this internship at the Marine Biology Association, I became more and more aware of this kelp ecology group, and that's led by Dan Smale, as I said earlier. So I remember taking a kelp plant into his office one day and asking him about this holdfast, the second holdfast that this kelp plant had grew, and I was like, what's happening here? He must have thought I was really weird, but I had it set that I wanted to experience and work in that research group because I was absolutely fascinated seeing their work unfold locally around Plymouth, and I was following that quite closely. So then getting an internship, or getting a bursary to do this internship, and when I actually finished university, back to the MBA and with Dan's group, he became a very inspirational person and just guided me really well into my career and helping me choose what I wanted to do, gave me a lot of confidence, gave me rein to do things. I just really like seeing his work ethic, how he works and how he balances his life and how he manages to be really productive. And as a scientist, he's definitely a role model in that field, and I aspire to be like him. So working with him and having him as a supervisor was, I think, has played quite a big part in, yeah, the field of marine biology.
So you've done quite a lot of different internships and volunteering experience, whether it's been in research or with diving in Plymouth with the marine station.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a key thing for students, that do you think students should be doing this in order to get where they want to go in their career?
Yeah, I would say to all prospective or current students, just volunteer as much as you can. You've got so many resources and institutes on your doorstep, and so many citizen science projects as well that you can do. In my first year, I was doing a few surveys again with the Marine Biology Association, but looking at recreational site usage in and around Plymouth and the Tamar Valley. And that's such an easy thing to get involved with. So keep an eye on your emails, because Stacey Diametres is constantly sending around different opportunities and people that need volunteers. And there's just a wealth of projects that are going on in and around Plymouth Sound. So getting involved in them just builds your knowledge and gives you confidence in what you're learning. And it's fun. You get to meet people that are working in marine science careers, and they can give you quite an insight into what it's like, how they do their job, or what they did to get to the position where they are. And yeah, forming friendships with them is really special as well. So if you can, try and volunteer and just get yourself out there, get your name out there, get people recognising your face as much as possible.
I do feel it's really something our lecturer pushing us to do, basically telling us our degree is not just, it's probably not going to be enough in terms of everyone is getting out of university with the same degree. What makes you different? And I think having these volunteering opportunities and internships and even what you can do with your placement year, I think is definitely really valuable for your experience and knowing what you want to do. I'm trying to do some stuff on the side, and it's really fun to not be just doing your lectures and not just being studying and revising for the exams, but actually having on the side different projects you're working on.
Yes.
Which makes you realize, you know, I'm doing this because of that, because I'm enjoying doing this project or whatever.
Yeah, completely. Engaging outside of your lectures is really important. They give you the stepping stones, and then it's for you to get a flavour of what you like to do. That's also the great thing about volunteering, is that it doesn't make coming out of university so scary, because you've kind of got a little bit of a flavour of what it's like to be a marine scientist and what it's like to do marine biology by having these experiences and accumulating this knowledge. And it just makes you remember things in a different way. So yeah, and also Louise, you said about the placement year, and that's a really invaluable thing that Plymouth University offers. So between your second and third year, you can take a professional placement year, and essentially you can embark on a series of internships or one internship for the 12 months, or you can just do 6 months. 6 months is the minimum, but this gives you an opportunity to get to go out there and work in placements, and then you write a report about it, and you can do a little project on the side based on your placement. You could even use your placement data for part of your dissertation. But that's another good way to start applying for different institutes, knowing what's out there, writing cover letters, writing CVs. It's almost like applying for a job, but applying for an internship, and then coming back into third year after having accumulated all these experiences in different sectors. Certainly for me, it gave me quite a refreshed perspective, and I felt even more motivated to come back into third year, because I knew what it would be like to be out there after. And
it is really refreshing to come back into third year after having this year out and seeing what's going on outside of uni, really.
Yeah, completely, because you learn all these new skills in first and second year, and it actually gives you the time to implement them and use them as well. So having that time to reflect on the experiences that you've already have and get to practice them is really great. And then you're just ready to learn more. You're like hungry to learn more by the time you get back into third year.
Actually, starting this podcast as well makes me realize how much is happening in Plymouth. And, you know, I'm doing like one episode every 2 weeks, and I wish I had 4 years to do that, because there's just so many people, and I've got like a few episodes lined up, and I'm like, I want to talk to everyone in Plymouth. It's just so hard.
Yeah, there are just so many inspirational people from so many different walks of life. Like, even just being at the Marine Biology Association and listening to talks about people that are working on diatoms and mechanisms, or looking at genetics and anemones, they are fields that I have not engaged in, but listening to those talks and having the opportunity to learn about them is amazing. And another thing, in our final year of university, we have a seminar series. So every 2 weeks, an outside researcher will come and talk about their work. So this could range from pathogens in aquaculture to coral reef diseases, and it's absolutely fascinating. So you do just want to get to know everyone and speak to everyone. So,
and one day we'll be listening to Nadia Frontier, who came back from Antarctica and is going to tell us all about amazing marine science from there. What have been your best achievements as a student in Plymouth?
My best achievement, so overall, was transitioning from sixth form and kind of like not really being super motivated to then coming to university and being absolutely full force, just loving it. I became very enthusiastic and passionate towards my subject, which I hadn't quite felt at school at all. So that was a really big achievement, to become more confident and come into yourself, and something that I take away a lot, and a lot of people would recognize that as well. So I think another achievement was I won a prize for my dissertation project, the best marine biology honors project, and that was an incredible way to finish university. And that was given to me and awarded to me by Andy Foggo, who was my supervisor, and he really supported me so much throughout my dissertation and gave me so much confidence as well. Was always there just every step of the way, like writing reference letters and following career movements and just generally being very supportive. And to get a prize from him was incredible, because he's such a wizard in statistics, and I really enjoyed learning from him, and to feel worthy of getting that prize was a really proud moment.
Why do you think you chose to do a career in marine biology?
So primarily, I'm fascinated and interested by it. I love how you can learn about something and get excited about it, and from papers that I read to seeing photos to being out in the field and doing field work. Like, when I'm doing them, I know that this is what I want to do. But in the bigger picture, I'm so aware of pressures on our ocean and on ecosystems globally, and threats that are posed to them, and the fact that species are experiencing so many multiple stressors across the globe. And I really want to do something to try and alleviate this and to just improve general monitoring and maintenance and prevent the degradation of our marine ecosystems. It's so topical at the moment, and to be able to work in that sector and provide research that would better inform policymakers, or to try and take on some kind of roles of activism to get people to listen and change their mentality and really see the impacts that we as humans are having, and to then enact positive change, is something that I feel very strongly about. And that's definitely why I want to continue pursuing the role of being a marine biologist forever, I hope. And I think as well, being in institutes, research institutes, where you're often surrounded by like-minded people that also have similar concerns and cares, you can form really strong groups and form movements. Like, something that I take away from university is the Students Against Single-Use Plastic group that Louise, you were part of, and so was I.
Yeah, I was.
We really lobbied against the university, wrote letters, got petitions, put stalls outside the university to reduce and ban, essentially, the unnecessary use of single-use plastic. And we were successful in doing that. We managed to get plastic cups banned from the student union. And just taking on initiatives like this with and having the movement of people behind you, that we were a group of six other people as well, organising events and to recognise this movement, we invited local stakeholders so we could have a fair, a sustainability fair, we called it, and we'd have people from the local area selling local products, eco-friendly or handmade soaps, for example, vegetables that are not wrapped in plastic, some eco-surf wax. There was also the Zero Waste Shop, which has now come to Plymouth, but they came to our fair in their initial stages of fundraising. So it was really great to be able to engage with them and have a positive change.
Well, Nadia, thanks for being so inspiring. I think I could listen to you for like hours.
You're so funny.
You're really, really inspiring, and you've been a really great inspiration, I think, for me during my studies. But yeah, thanks so much for being part of the episode, and I wish you the best for Antarctica. Really, it's going to be such a great journey.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so funny talking about Plymouth. I feel very reminiscent. Being in my quarantine period, I would do anything to just be able to jump into the hoe. But thank you, Louise. Diving in Antarctica is the next stop.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Nadia. I think she's really one of this motivated and enthusiastic person. And she's been really inspiring me. So I hope she's inspired you a bit as well in this short episode. But if you want to know more about her journey as a marine biologist in Antarctica, she's actually started writing a blog about it. And I've put the link in the description if you want to have a read. And I really wanted to say a big thank you for everyone that listened to the first few episodes, for your support and feedback. And while I'm making the next episodes for the next few weeks, don't forget to take care of yourself and of the ocean.